Now, back to more Sports Call with J.J. Jackson and the guys.
Welcome back into Sports Call here on Tiger 93.9 FM and streaming online at sportscallauburn.com. J.J. Jackson, Tom Peavy, and Ryan Lavoy on the program today. A reminder once again that the Sports Call podcast is brought to you by Mountain Dew. If you ever miss our show live or you want to hear something again, make sure you go back and listen on demand wherever you get your podcasts and join Ice Cold Mountain Dew to go along with the hottest sports talk. Do the Dew with Auburn's first and Auburn's favorite sports talk show. Great conversation we had with Butch Thompson on the program that you'll want to go back and listen to. All right, it's time for our Sports Call mail back here today.
We love to answer questions from our listeners. Send us any questions you have and need answers for. We're accepting questions on Twitter or send an email to sportscall@thetiger.fm.
We just got a letter. Wonder who it's from.
So, let's get to it. It's Sports Call's mailbag.
You've got mail.
Yes, indeed it is. It is, in fact, Sports Call's mailbag. Thanks so much to the folks that sent in questions this week. We had a lot of good ones that we want to go over here. Some of these folks not comfortable calling in and talking to us over the airwaves, so we always do appreciate folks sending us emails, tweets, or Facebook messages asking any question under the sun. We got a question from Michael asking us, hey guys, what are your expectations for Noah Igbinoghene as he gets ready for his second season as a starting SEC cornerback?
I think the expectations will be quite high. I think that he will, because here's the thing, is obviously he was a wide receiver. He's remained in his role primarily as a kickoff return guy as well. So this was his first year of playing serious football at corner. And look, was it incredible? No, it wasn't, but it wasn't bad. It was something you could work with. And for just year one of that, it gives you a pretty good foundation and a pretty high hope that he will be a pretty dang good corner in the league. I think that obviously, as a lot of defensive backs have to work on, he's got to work on some ball awareness. You can see just one interception on the year, one forced fumble, so didn't necessarily have a prowess for the football. But he was a very physical guy. He knew how to jam at the line of scrimmage. He knew how to stay with guys. He has good speed, so he's got good physical characteristics to play the cornerback position. He's just got to be, I think, a little more aware, which, look, that's just hard to do when you're not used to playing that position at that high of a level. So I expect that to continue to come throughout the year. I think the expectations should be pretty high for him.
Expectations are for him to improve as a defensive player, but I think where you can see Iggy really take a step forward is on special teams as a returner. He's got the athletic ability to really be one of the most dangerous returners in the country. He's just that athletic.
So fast.
He really is. He's got the speed. He's got the elusiveness. He's just an athletic guy. So, yeah, I want to see him take that next step to becoming a really good defender on the defensive side of things. But I think that he can really, really step it up and become a very dangerous player on special teams.
Yeah, and I think the expectations part of this is kind of what you guys have been saying. It's always to improve. The more opportunity, the more experience that you get. And then I really love the special teams point made there, Tom, because I don't know that there's anything more exciting than, or there's certainly some things exciting, but I'm all for a big play on kickoff return.
Absolutely.
I love a big play on the kickoff return. And for Igbinoghene, only had 11 returns last season. It's getting so routine for those touchbacks to take place. But talk about momentum. You can really swing some things if you're a dangerous kick returner.
Yeah, obviously it's become a measure of safety, both in the NFL and the NCAA. You still see, I think, I don't know what the percentages are. I would just assume that you have a higher percentage of kick returns in college because not all kickers can necessarily get it to the back of the end zone like in the NFL, where everyone can pretty much do it without even kicking it to 100% of their ability. So it's still more in play for the college game. And with Noah, he's obviously got the speed. You see a 28.3 average now. Look, that's pretty good. It can be slightly misleading if you're returning 5 yards back half the time, because that means you're getting out to like the 23 and you're actually losing a couple yards in the scheme of things. I think that's the big thing, is if you demonstrate the ability to go a long ways, if you demonstrate like the Dante Hall, you know, Allen Rossum, I know it's a way throwback name, early 2000s Falcons, but if you demonstrate that kind of returning ability, obviously Devin Hester is one that more people would know. If you demonstrate that kind of ability, you get the leeway to bring it out 5-6 yards back. When you don't, I mean, you kind of, because it can be fortuitous for the other team, you can bring it out 5 yards back and you have a 20-yard return, and that would have been cool in the old days, but that's going to be at the 15-yard line now because of where the kickoff is from and where the touchback would come out to. So I think that you obviously could really benefit from a really good returner. I think Noah's pretty close to being a great returner. I think he's already a good returner. It's kind of like him at corner. I think he's already an above-average corner. I just think that there's one or two things he can work on with the kick return game. Obviously, there's not as many things that come into play. But he's got the tools to do it like he does at corner. So I'll be interested to see if he can break one or two early in the year, if that will set it up to where they kind of trust him to do it no matter how deep in the end zone it is.
And then, of course, we're also talking about elite-level athlete with Noah Igbinoghene, his track days, how quick he is. Also had some time as a high jumper, I believe, for Auburn track. So thank you, Michael, for that question. Andre writes in and says, which SEC football head coach entering his second season at his school will have the best year in 2019? My answer is Dan Mullen. Love the show, writes Andre. Of course, the five SEC football coaches entering their second year: Dan Mullen at Florida, Jimbo Fisher at Texas A&M, Joe Moorhead at Mississippi State, Chad Morris at Arkansas, Jeremy Pruitt at Tennessee. Who's your answer, Tom?
Andre, if you're out there listening, I agree with you 100%. I think it's Dan Mullen. For a couple of reasons. First of all, Florida, Dan Mullen is getting Florida up to that level where they can begin competing with Georgia. It may even be this year. Now, whether they're going to surpass Georgia, I don't know. But he is steadily getting Florida to that level. When I look at some of these other guys, I really like Jimbo Fisher, and I like the talent that he has at Texas A&M. But the simple fact is he's in the West. He's got Alabama. He's got LSU. He's got Auburn. He's got the West is going to be the West. Dan Mullen's got a lot of easier track at Florida because really it's them in Georgia, because I think everybody else is down or just bad. So absolutely, Dan Mullen's going to have the Gators dangerous this year. Even though they do play Auburn this year, hopefully that'll be a loss on the Gators, but that's in the swamp. It's in the swamp, right?
Yep. Yes.
Yeah. I just think Dan Mullen, out of these guys, Joe Moorhead, I'm not expecting much out of him on Mississippi State. Chad Morris, good luck at Arkansas, and I'm still just not sold on Jeremy Pruitt. So,
yeah,
Andre, Dan Mullen.
Yeah, going through this, obviously, Chad Morris, Arkansas would be thrilled with 6-6. I mean, they'd just be flabbergasted by 6-6. With Joe Moorhead, I just think they lost way too much off a team that already should have performed better than they did last year. I think they'll go to a bowl game. Nothing special, though. Jeremy Pruitt, that I think there's a wide range of outcomes for Pruitt. I think they could win 7 or 8 games. In their best-case scenario, they could go 5-7 again. But even if it's 8-4, I don't think that's the best performance. So you're down to Jimbo Fisher and Dan Mullen. I'm going to say Dan Mullen, but the argument for Jimbo Fisher, or the argument against Dan Mullen, is that Florida's schedule, even though they're in the East, it's very tough on them too, because their two West opponents, of course, are Auburn, who TBD, but still Auburn is at least a top 20, top 25 team at the minimum, and then it's It's LSU, their rivalry with LSU at LSU. A tough game there. You obviously have Georgia on a neutral site, which is always tough. And then if you have a absolute trip up and say Felipe Franks is not what he appeared to be, you could family lose to South Carolina. Their stretch is literally they host Auburn, they're to LSU, they're to South Carolina, then they get a bye week, and then they have the Florida-Georgia game. So, like, it's not unfathomable that they could have bitten off a little more than they could have chewed last year, and they might have been, maybe the expectations are too high. But you're right. Jimbo Fisher, the gauntlet at A&M, they have, I think, the second or third toughest schedule in the league. They've got Clemson, obviously, again, which is just terrible terrible luck for Jimbo Fisher that he just can't run away from Dabo Sweeney. But so I think the answer is Dan Mullen. But it might be Dan Mullen because he goes 9-3 or 8-4, while all the other guys go 8-4 or less.
I'd say Dan Mullen as well, and I really like what you pointed out there, Ryan, going the schedule breakdown. And then, as Brooks mentioned on yesterday's show, our own Brooks Childress, at the end of the year, of course, Florida's still going to have Florida State on their schedule. And as Brooks said yesterday, you'd expect Willie Taggart to continue to improve as Florida State's head coach.
You have Miami, so you have two big Floridian rivals. I mean, it's not an easy schedule.
Which we'll see what happens there in the second year. If it's, I'm interested, Joe Moorhead, of course, taking over a Mississippi State program that a lot of folks were disappointed in how they turned out, how they played last year, given Nick Fitzgerald coming back. But looking at second-year head coaches, Chad Morris and Jeremy Pruitt, those are the two guys that are incredibly intriguing to me as to what their tenure is going to look like at the head coach at those current SEC schools. And 2019 is going to be big for both of those guys. Thanks, Andre, for that question. Ryan, you'll start off with this next question we have from Kyle, who writes in and sportscall at thetiger.fm. That's how you send an email to be a part of Sportscall Mailbag. Kyle asks, what are your thoughts on Anders Carlson as we gear up for the season? I was disappointed in his first year having to replace his brother, but didn't like him having to attempt all of those 50-plus yard field goals.
I think that's kind of the lead up to the answer is he was 13 of 16 inside of 50 yards. He was 2 of 9 when he was 50-plus. It's not because he didn't have the power. He obviously had the power, and that's why Gus Malzahn continued to give him those opportunities. But he needed to reach back for all of that power, and it made the accuracy go awry. I think that you could easily see him play a lot better this year because, as I said, he didn't miss inside of 30. He was 2 of 3 from 30 to 39. That's just three opportunities. As a matter of fact, from 30 to 49, if you want to extend the 40 of the 49 category as well, Carlson had 8 attempts from 30 to 49. He had 9 from 50-plus. He just didn't have many moderately long field goals. He either had them really short because Auburn couldn't take advantage of first and goal, or they had to settle for, no, do we have a 35-yard line punt? No, let's try the long field goal. He had a lot of really easy attempts or really hard attempts. So it will be interesting, but I personally think that Carlson will be really good. He's got the leg. I think he does have the accuracy. He's got to have fewer 50-yard attempts, and he's obviously needs to knock down a couple of them when he does get them.
Tom, your thoughts on Anders Carlson?
So my thoughts are I felt that it was a disappointing performance, and I guess the only reason that is because we're just so used to seeing what we saw from his brother Daniel and even kickers before Daniel. Here's my thing, and this is where Anders is going to have to improve. Yeah, you don't know. You never like to see your team having to settle for 50-plus yard field goals. But the thing is, if you're going to get to the next level, you got to get better at those field goals. There's a reason they have Anders kicking 9 50-plus yard field goals, and that's because they have the confidence that he can do it. That means that he's been doing it in practice. Otherwise, they wouldn't be trying it. They wouldn't trot the guy out there to try 50-plus if they're like, I don't think the guy can make them. So they've seen him make them. I'm wondering if there's a block from practice to game time that is causing these things to go askew on him. But, everything else, I mean, inside 50, he's fine. But, to become an NFL kicker, you're going to have to consistently hit those 50-plus yard field goals. Because right now in the NFL, I mean, you've got guys that kicking 60 that are just, just, you know, average day at the stadium, kick a 60-yard field goal. So he's got to improve on that, because that's just a lot of times the way it is. I mean, you're going to have those field goals like that. So he's got to improve on it.
My thoughts on Anders Carlson as we gear up for 2019 are, I expect him to be better. As we said, as I think freshman taking over for your brother, who is the SEC's all-time leading scorer, that's tough. That's really tough. But what we knew about Anders Carlson coming out of high school was that every single high school record Daniel set, Anders broke that record.
Right.
And so that's why I have a good feeling that he's going to be much improved. That's from Kyle there, who asked us that question in the Sports Call mailbag. Our last one, Chad sent us one. Of course, we're known for some off-the-wall sort of questions. This is what Chad wrote in. He sent us an email, sportscallatthetiger.fm. What is your favorite summertime activity? I know that you've talked about vacation spots in the past, but I'm curious, what's your favorite thing to do in your free time? I have a feeling JJ will say something about putt-putt. War Eagle, guys.
Or Asheville.
That's from Chad.
Yeah, putt-putt in Asheville.
Putt-putt in Asheville.
That is one of my favorite summertime activities. And, yeah, my answer is Chad got the right wind of everything. I do talk about putt-putt a good bit. It's my favorite sport. It's my favorite thing to do. I love a good game of mini golf. I was disappointed this past weekend that for the first weekend in 6 weeks, I wasn't able to find a course and a round of mini golf. So that would probably be my answer for what's my favorite summertime activity. Definitely be my answer.
I don't have just one. It's like a conglomerate of things, because it's okay. So on one hand, I'm always a sports guy no matter time of the year. So I'm always going to enjoy watching baseball. I'm going to enjoy the fact that the Braves and Yankees are playing really well this year. I'm going to enjoy playing golf. I hardly ever play golf in the colder months of the year, but in the warm months like this, I usually get it ramped back up a little bit. But on the other hand, I really like the summer blockbusters that usually hit, the going to the movies. I mean, I know that's usually like a winter activity. I know that seems counterintuitive. Oh, the weather's finally great outside. Let's go inside. But just as far as, you know,
there are great releases.
Most summers. That's why it's called a summer blockbuster, because there's usually a lot of great movies out in the summer. I know I've been talking everyone's heads off the last couple months about Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, which comes out at the end of the month. So it's a conglomerate of things. It has to do with sports. It has to do with getting outside and playing some golf during the day. Here's the thing. Let's go play golf until about 5 p.m. Let's watch the Braves from 6 to 8 or whatever, and then let's go catch a late movie, a late summer blockbuster. That would be like the ideal day in the summer.
Favorite summertime activity, Tom Peavy?
All right, so let me preface this by saying, you know, to everybody out there, I am very light complected. I am very light of skin, I guess you could say. I have even been called a ginger, even though I think I'm more just blonde hair and blue-eyed, but I'm very pale complected.
Okay.
So let's just get that out of the way. Summer is my least favorite season of the year, because I just don't like the sweltering heat. I burn. I burn bad in the summer heat. The sun is my enemy. So my favorite activity is finding somewhere with air conditioning and staying out of the sun.
Hey, see a movie. The movie's good.
Sure,
then
I'll find a movie or some sports, man. Or you know, a tasty adult beverage, but something with some air conditioning, so that I don't fry
somewhere where the temperatures are below 90,000 degrees.
Yes, somewhere that, you know, I don't immediately break into a profuse sweat by just walking out the front door. Springtime, fall. I love wintertime. You know, because I can actually put some clothes on and go out in public. I'm not one of those that's going to walk around in a Speedo with no shirt on. You know, I'm not going to do that. So, yeah, summertime for me, it's staying inside in the air conditioning. And
air conditioning's so underrated. Like, to think about a world, and as it's been known, Ryan and I, much younger than Tom, not much younger, but younger than Tom, And to think of a world where air conditioning just wasn't a thing.
What, do you think that he didn't have air conditioning?
We also had paved roads too.
Yeah, you remember when Tom had to ride horse and buggy to the station?
We had indoor plumbing, paved roads.
Let's just go to commercial break. I've ruined this whole segment.
We just had to sit on the front porch Tom and Peavy's. Fan ourselves with whatever piece of paper we had.
No. I don't have a rebuttal to that. My apologies there. I love air conditioning.
You've definitely been living in Asheville, North Carolina too long.
Way too long. Way too. That's my thing about the summer too. Where are the mountains? Where's the nice breeze here in Alabama in the sweltering heat, as you're alluding
by
to?
By the ocean.
Also, our own Christian Page sent us a text message saying, I'm with Tom. Summer ain't for gingers, is what he said.
That's
Let's
right.
go ahead and go to break. We're back with more Sports Call in a moment.